Yeah, so just before we get to your specifics of your position, let's talk about one other probably popular position. Leibniz has a theodicy that sounds similar to the type of thing that you're doing, although as you point out in the book, it's very different. Right. So could you, you know, he has a best of all possible worlds type of thing. And it's a theodicy to help, you know, explain or defend what God is doing. Could you just share that with us a bit? And then maybe that'll lead us into, as you talk about how that's different than your position, that'll lead us into more specifics of what your position is.
Yeah, I'm very favorable to Leibniz's position, but he fails to answer some important questions about his position. So basically, Leibniz's position, he was a philosopher in the 1700s, I think, early 1700s, that put forth this theodicy called the best of all possible worlds. And the idea is that God is a perfect being. And this comes from classical theism, which most Orthodox Christians would adhere to, not in the fullest sense. Arminians don't always embrace everything that classical theism teaches. Nonetheless, Calvinists do. And so the idea is that a perfect God would only create a world that is perfect. And so that presents obviously a problem at face value, because why would anyone think that evil in a world is a perfect world? So Leibniz says, well, it's because God has some greater good. So really the best of all possible worlds is a version of what is called the greater good type of theodicy or defense. And there's a number that fall within that category. And I'm trying to demonstrate that in the book. But anyway, so he would say that God must have some good purpose in evil. The problem is that Leibniz never tells us what that might be or what those greater goods might actually be, just that we have to agree that they would be. Furthermore, we have to agree that God would make a world that is perfect, and there is no better world than the one that he created. The problem with that is that how can we know for sure that this is the best possible world that God could have created? I think the best that we can say, and this is what I attempt to say in my book, is that I think we could say that there is no greater world that God could have made, but there could have been equally other worlds that are not worse than the one that he has created. And I think that has less philosophical problems, you know, and again, that's, you know, we're speculating based on inferences that we make from the character of God and from Scripture. So I believe that the best of all possible worlds theodicy that Leibniz developed does have some great value to it. It's just that he doesn't answer a lot of those questions, and I think he makes a mistake of saying that this is the only possible world God could have created that is the best world. I think it's presumptuous for us to say that God was locked into only making this type of world with the exact, you know, balance of good and evil and everything that happens. To me, that's restricting God too much. Nonetheless, I do argue in my book that there is no greater world than the one God has created, in which certain things occur, and namely those things have to do with the incarnation, the death and resurrection, the ascension, the second coming, and the eternal state that is all centered around Jesus Christ. And so there is no greater world that we could conceive of in which there would be no incarnation, death, resurrection, ascension, and final victorious establishment of Christ's eternal kingdom than in such the world that God has created. And so any good, supremely good world that God could have conceived of would have to include the incarnation, death, resurrection, ascension, and second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom forever. And that's part of my argument in the book.